What's up? This is Dave from Movies On Up. We'll see Ryan after the theme song. This week, we talk Oscars. We talk our Oscar pick'em. We crown the first ever fantasy film ball champion. And we also talk some news. And Dave gets angry about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Theme song, give me three.
What's up? This is Movies On Up, episode 42. 50 million people watched, but no one saw a thing. 50 million, probably not 50 million, maybe a factor of 50 people listen to our podcast weekly. Hear the ramblings of myself, Ryan, and my cohort, Mr. Dave.
That's me.
That's him. So that's our tagline for this week. 50 million people watched, but no one saw a thing. It is kind of a difficult one.
That's a clever one. That's going deep.
It's kind of going deep. It is a movie we talked a little bit about last week.
It got mentioned.
It did. It got mentioned. There were a couple. I wanted to do Forrest Gump, but the taglines for that, like Forrest Gump is in the tagline. So I thought, shit, I really can't use that. So maybe I picked a movie from that year that did not win, but Dave and I both like. So if you think you know what it is, if you think you can figure out what 50 million people watched, no one saw a thing, if you can figure out what that movie comes from, send it to us in an email, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet it directly at Dave, at moviesonup on the Twitter, or you could leave it on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/moviesonup. If you're right, and if we pick you, Dave will get at you, and once he gets your home address or your P.O. box, however you'd like us to send you your prize package, we will do so. And damn, if we aren't going to be sending out some prize packages this week. We've got, later on in the show, we're going to announce our fantasy film ball winner, and that lucky listener will be getting a prize package. So this week, damn it, if there was one week to do the tagline contest, it is this week, because prize packages will be out in the mail.
Yeah, I'm not going to promise they'll be out this week, but they'll be out soon.
Eventually.
Eventually.
Right. Yeah.
I got a lot going on.
Sure, we both do. Thanks, Dave, for making it sound like I'm a damn loser. Had a lot going on this weekend. I was kind of sick, so I stayed in the bed. Didn't get a chance to go out and see either Dark Skies or Snitch or Inescapable, for that matter. The sickness for me was inescapable, so I didn't get my ass out of the bed. But I'm guessing that some folks did get out of bed and get to the theater this week.
Nobody got out for Inescapable. It opened on two theaters to $721.
Cha-ching!
That's $361 per screen.
That's some quick math.
That's the second lowest of any movie that was in the theaters this week.
Wow, yeah. What was the lowest?
Le Combat dans l'Allée from 1962 was on one screen and brought in $327.
Les Incompetents.
Yeah.
Sure, I don't know.
But it was a weird week. Good Day to Die Hard was number one last week. It fell 59% to fifth place. Word of mouth is killing that movie. It's apparently terrible.
That's what I've
heard. It's apparently boring. The characters are just ridiculous. Word of mouth is killing that movie. Fifth place with $10 million. It sits at $51 million after 2 weeks on a $92 budget. Number four, Safe Haven, fell 51% to $10 million. I mean, that was your one and two movies
last week.
Well, one and three. Safe Haven only fell one spot. But it sits at $47 million after 2 weeks on a $28 budget. It's on pace to be one of Nick Sparks' highest grossing movies, and they already set one up for Valentine's Day 2015.
So. Of course they did. It's like Saw. Why wouldn't you? I mean, you make them for X amount of dollars. It makes 2X. Yeah, keep cranking them out, whatever.
So your number one movie went to five. Your number three movie last week went to four. Your number four movie went up to three, Escape from Planet Earth. Only saw a 32% drop for $10.6 million, so it's at $34 million on a $40 million budget after 2 weeks. The one wide release that actually performed okay, Snitch, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, number two with $13.1 million. And the winner, last week's number two movie, 2 weeks ago's number one movie, Identity Thief, $14 million. It sits at $93 million after 3 weeks on a $35 million budget. So I wouldn't be shocked if we hear news of a sequel soon.
I wouldn't be shocked at all.
The other wide release, Dark Skies, came in sixth with $8 million. not great, but that was a $3.5 million budget.
Most of that went to hormones to regrow Carrie Russell's hair.
Yeah, so it's one of those that, eh. But Silver Linings still only dropped 7.9% for $5 million for 7th. It's at $107 million. Zero Dark Thirty is at $91 million. It came in 11th place with another two. It'll probably make the $100 million eventually.
I think this is the week that I'm most interested as we're recording the Oscars. We're last night, so I'm interested to see, you know, what kind of effect that has going forward into this week and the following week with some of the movies that did well last night, to see if they really get kind of an Oscar bounce. Because really this year there hasn't been a whole hell of a lot out there to go see. There's a couple movies that come out this week that look okay, but Jesus, by and large, it's been a pretty shitty year for movies thus far.
Two months into it. But Zero Dark Thirty, it's going to be close. If it does, I think we counted that as, what, 7 of 9 best pictures would be at $100 million.
Yeah, like Amour was one of them.
And Beasts of the Southern Wild. Yeah. I think combined, the domestic totals of the 9 best pictures is just under $1 billion.
Gosh.
Which is pretty impressive. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Beautiful Creatures, its second week, only brought in $3 million. So it's sitting at 16 after 2 weeks. That might be our first
bomb
of the year. And Identity Thief, by Thursday, they'll have their $100 million. So they'll be the first movie this year to go over $100 million.
Well, I guess Jason Bateman didn't learn his lesson the first time. Universal has already planning on bringing Bateman and Melissa McCarthy back for Identity Thief 2. No surprise. Was it after the first or second week where it had completely eclipsed its budget?
It opened with 30 some million.
It may have been the first week.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was close in the first
week. Yeah, I want to say it was like upper 20s was the budget on that one. At that point, it made its nut. Anything else was going to be icing on the cake, and apparently there's enough icing to sweeten the pot into making Identity Thief 2.
And you know what? I haven't seen it because it doesn't look appealing to me, but that's fine. I don't understand how this one would have a sequel. But yes, okay, because good for Melissa McCarthy. I think she's hilarious. If these are the kind of movies that's going to, you know, buy her houses and second houses and third houses, that's fine, because I think she deserves it. I think she's going to have a hit over the summer with The Heat, with her and Sandra Bullock. So I think it's going to be a big year for her, and I think she's going to be headlining movies for a few years.
Yeah, I mean, it's at this point, it's really just economics. I mean, that Identity Thief is not made for Dave or I, and that's fine. Not every movie has to appeal to the two of us. Enough people saw it and liked it that it made enough money, and it's a good investment to make an Identity Thief 2. That's fine. Everybody's got
the thing is, for that kind of movie, okay, say it's a $35 million budget. That's just ridiculous.
She's a big lady.
But she's super funny. $35 million.
She's big.
You figure they're going to need price raise. They're going to need
You think their salaries.
Hikes,
they're gonna...
hikes. So even if you up their salaries and you up the budget to $50 million, is there any way the sequel doesn't make that back? I don't think so. Something's appealing about this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think at this point the bar was relatively low. I think at 28... I'm guessing 28. I want to say that.
I think it was 35.
Sure, whatever. That was the budget?
35, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. I think maybe, like we've seen with The Hangover, like the first one made so much money. Of course, how can the second one not be as good, not hold up?
Second Hangover made more money.
Right, but what I'm saying is we're kind of getting to the point now, we're getting to be four deep, that maybe you can see where, maybe just this is too much of something and people get tired of it, but... I don't know.
Again, I like Bateman. I like McCarthy. No, I don't expect every movie that they make to be for me, but that's fine.
Yeah, that's all right. This one's not, but I don't think the next one is either. Speaking of Universal and putting some sequels into the pot, the studio has recently announced a couple more. Bella's back with a brand new edition. Snow White and the Huntsman will have a sequel, and it will feature Snow White, but not Cunnilingus. Kristen Stewart will be back to play the lead, but director Rupert Sanders is out. Chris Hemsworth will return as the Huntsman. This movie, we kind of speculated on whether it would be more following Thor or would be following Bella. It is the Bella direction.
Which I don't understand, because she was nothing in that first movie. Like, she was the least compelling part between I mean, Charlize outshined her. Hemsworth outshined her. The dude that ends up in Hunger Games. I'm forgetting his name right now.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
No, she was nothing in this movie. And a Huntsman sequel. I would be kind of interested in a Huntsman sequel. I liked the character enough. I thought the movie was garbage. But Hemsworth is good in that kind of role. I think he's really good. Not alongside Kristen Stewart, though. Like, having her so heavily involved, I don't care.
I think it was a little bit surprising to see that they did bring her back. I mean, there was a bit of a controversy, and I understand not bringing the director back, I guess. If one of the two had to go, it does make more sense to bring her back. She does and will at least bring, you know, the Twilight fans into it, and that is a sizable group, a sizable audience. So, I guess, again, it's probably economics, where they figure with her, the movie is valued at X, without her.
Well, this kind of movie does well overseas. This is one of those that they may break even in the States, which I think the first one was a little under the budget on domestic box office, but overseas more than made it up. So that's one of those movies.
A Star Is Born. The studio is also planning on making more Bourne films. No word yet on whether Matt Damon will appear alongside Jeremy Renner or really anything other than the fact that, yeah, we're going to make some more Bourne movies.
Yeah, the last one didn't do well.
No, it didn't.
Like, critically or commercially. So it's kind of surprising. I think having Bourne in the title is confusing to people.
Because he wasn't in the movie?
If you got Matt Damon back, then making a fifth one makes sense. If it's Renner and Damon either head-to-head or working together, that makes sense. But it just doesn't make sense to do... Nobody... I love Renner. I like Renner. But nobody seemed to care about the movie.
I think it was just a writing thing where... You know, they tried to go a different direction, and they sort of did. Still had Jason Bourne's character in the universe, but there was really no interaction. But I do think that spicing it up and having Matt Damon in there, maybe him sitting out a turn and kind of seeing the movie and saying, all right, that was not, it wasn't terrible. But, you know, you could see potential for him and Renner to be together.
Because ideally, I thought Renner needed two movies and then bring Damon back. But I don't know if they can afford two movies.
Yeah, I don't know that they can have another Bourne legacy without Matt Damon.
I mean, I think you got to throw the paycheck at Damon and get him back for this.
Yeah, I think so. And maybe the taste has been washed out of his mouth since the last couple Bourne movies he did. He wasn't real thrilled with them, but at least he seems like he's... okay with coming back. Bobcat Goldthwait will look for Bigfoot in his next film, the found footage suspenseful satire Willow Creek.
Now, found footage Bigfoot movie doesn't seem that interesting. Bobcat doing it does. It's got like a religious hinge to it. Bobcat says something with his movies, and he hits you over the head with the message. I'm interested in it. I'll see it.
Yeah, I'll see it. I happen to enjoy cryptozoology as much as the next guy. So even if Bobcat wasn't doing this movie, I'd probably give it a spin. But, I mean, I liked God Bless America. I agree with you. He does hit you over the head with whatever statement he's trying to make, and it's kind of as grating as his film voice is as grating as his actual voice. But, yeah, I mean, I at this... Sight unseen, I'll give it a try.
If it was some unknown director doing a found footage Bigfoot movie, I wouldn't really care. But knowing what Bobcat is as a director, yeah. Like, yeah. World's Greatest Dad, Shakes the Clown, like, there's going to be an interesting angle to it. It's like Red State with Kevin Smith. If anybody else would have directed Red State, I probably wouldn't have been interested.
Especially, I mean, I think with the Bigfoot thing, because you'd think that could be like Sci-Fi Channel Movie of the Week, but at least you know, well, it's not going to be that. I'm not sure what it's going to be necessarily, but I know what it isn't going to
be. I wouldn't be shocked if there's no Bigfoot in the movie. Honestly, like,
Spoiler alert.
I'm just saying, that's Bobcat. It wouldn't surprise me if he makes a Bigfoot movie with no Bigfoot.
Found footage Bigfoot movie with no Bigfoot. Speaking of another tremendous filmmaker, Michael Bay can make a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie without Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're going to be aliens. Now, he can't seem to make any kind of movie recently without Megan Fox. And you'd have thought that ship would have sailed with her, you know, calling him a Nazi and all that shit. But no. Ms. Fox and Mr. Bay have been reunited, and it feels so good. The actress, and I'm using the air quotes here, has apparently made nice with the director after her Nazi comments caused her to get the boot from Transformers. She's found a soft spot to land as Variety and Bay both confirm her casting as April O'Neil in the upcoming Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles flick. After talking to Jane Levy, Elizabeth Olsen, and Anna Kendrick, Megan fucking Fox sounded like a good idea.
This seriously ruined my week.
Me too.
Like, I had kind of forgot about this movie because, okay, it's not Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles anymore. It's Ninja Turtles. They're not teenagers. They're not mutant. They're aliens.
They're none of the things in the title.
The script that leaked was fucking terrible. And it got pushed back. You know, they delayed it. Now it appears that it's... I had kind of just hoped, like, oh, they're just... It got pushed back indefinitely, and they're just going to hope nobody
forget
remembers.
About it.
But then this comes out. What the fuck? And it's not even that I hate Megan Fox. Megan Fox in small doses, like, and This Is 40, I thought she was great. When she shows up in smaller roles, I think she can do what she's asked to do. But she's not fucking April O'Neil.
No.
And this is the thing is, where are you fucking going with this? Is it older April O'Neil? Because Megan Fox doesn't feel like Paige Turco or, you know, the one from the first one. Is it younger April O'Neil? Because she's not fucking 16. Megan Fox is not 16. So just like, what the fuck are we doing? And especially when you go names like Jane Levy. If you want to go
perfect.
If you want to go a younger April O'Neil,
yeah.
That's fucking Jane Levy right there. I love Elizabeth Olsen. She could pull off a young one. I love Anna Kendrick. I don't really see her as April O'Neil, but I'd be for it. So what is it? A mid-20s April O'Neil? I don't understand. Like, if it was Jane Levy, Jane Levy's perfect casting if you want to go the younger April O'Neil.
I don't understand the fascination that maybe Michael Bay.
Like, I have no idea. I love the fucking Ninja Turtles with all my heart, and I grew up loving them. I have no fucking interest in this movie, and not only do I not have interest, it pisses me off. And I'm not one to get pissed off about movies about stuff I love, but when you're taking it and you're not even making a movie about what I love, you're taking something and changing everything about it. What the fuck? Why?
And not for the better.
Just go make a movie about fucking aliens with Megan Fox in it. Do that. I don't give a shit.
Like Transformers.
Don't attach a name that I fucking love to it.
Yeah.
Let somebody that actually gives a fuck about the franchise take it. This fuck, like, it literally ruined my week. Like, I read this, and not only did it kill the hopes that this was just dying, it's like, oh no, this is going to be made. It's going to be worse than I even expected.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, just when you think it can't get any worse... The article that I read said something about, like, oh, it's a nerd's wet dream. It's
no
Ninja Turtles and Megan Fox. And
no,
I thought,
it's not.
No.
And nobody that gives a fuck about Ninja Turtles is going to be excited about this.
I can't imagine.
No, nobody that cares about Ninja Turtles is going to be excited about Megan
She'd
Fox.
She'd be an all right Casey Jones, but I can't see her as April. That is terrible.
The age throws me off. Because is it 16-year-old? Or I don't get the age.
The age, I don't think she has any kind of acting personality at all. I think she's terrible. I think she's awful, and I don't even want to look at her.
You know, it would be an awesome... If you go younger, April O'Neil, Jane Levy, obviously. Yeah. If you go older, like in the first two movies, like that age range, Anna Silk from the show Lost Girl, she's phenomenal. She would be perfect as April O'Neil.
I think there are any number of people that would have been perfect or would have been good. This is awful.
Like, it's...
This is awful.
It's like, have you ever seen April O'Neil? Like, that's the thing. If you ever...
I don't think he has seen Turtles. He's making them aliens.
I mean, in the first... And that's not even to mention, like, the first script. Like, I bitched about it when it leaked. The Turtles weren't even really the stars. It centered mostly on Casey Jones. Mostly on Casey Jones and April O'Neil. And the Turtles were there. Like, what the fuck? Like, why are you doing this?
It's because he can. Do you want to get off Turtles before you have a stroke?
Because that's fucking pissing me off. So. Right.
Yeah, that was maybe an example of bad casting. This next one, I think, is an example of great casting. James Marsden eyeing a role in the Anchorman sequel. Director Richard Kelly tweeted about Marsden being cast as Ron Burgundy's rival newscaster.
I like it.
Sure,
Marsden's fucking great in comedy.
He is. I mean, I just...
He's so fucking funny.
Just saw him on 30 Rock. He's great.
Great on 30 Rock. Yeah. Sex Drive. Super underrated movie. He was fantastic in it. Even Hop. Not the greatest movie, but like, he was the comedic lead in that, and he carried it well. Like, he's funny.
He's a good dude, and I can see him playing kind of that... I don't know if he's going to be vapid.
He can oversell it without... Yeah. He can bring a lot of what Vince Vaughn did.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn can oversell something while still feeling natural. I think Marsden can do a lot of the same.
Yes, and in this movie,
not as well as Vaughn, because Vaughn's one of the best at that.
But. Well, yeah, I don't know. Like, I'm not willing to say he couldn't do it as well, because I really do think Marsden's really, really good.
Oh, I agree.
And yeah, I'm glad this movie. Every time, as opposed to the last one, every time we hear an update on Anchorman 2 casting, it ends up being great.
It's always perfect.
Yeah. So. Keep going.
On top of a perfect cast already.
Yeah.
And I'm not even an Anchorman fan, really.
It, you know what? Like, it's one of the very few Will Ferrell movies that I can stomach. This just keeps getting better every time we hear about it. So I'm cool with that. I might even say that the casting of James Marsden was fantastic. Fantastic news for Josh Trank. According to Deadline, Fox has brought on former Days of Future Past director Matthew Vaughn to produce Trank's Fantastic Four reboot.
Fantastic. I'd rather him be directing, even though I'm not really super into a Fantastic Four movie. But if you're going to boot it, the thing is like, okay, Fox only has X-Men. So, yeah, you could create a unified universe between
the X-Men and Fantastic Four,
but there's not a lot of stories there, and who knows what the fuck time frame the fucking X-Men are in now after this. It just makes me seem like, oh, Justice League is dead. Like, I truly think he would have been Warner's top choice to be the Joss Whedon of the DC Universe, and him taking this role, I don't know what...
Well, maybe just he's producing it. We don't know how much he's going
to
be involved. But
I just feel like it's a move to get him in there and try to build a universe, but they don't have anybody else. They lost Daredevil back to Marvel. I think they still have Silver Surfer, but do we need a Silver Surfer movie? I mean, good for him. I love Matthew. I love him. I have more hope for this movie now.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm sitting, too. I mean, I know you can't stand Chronicle.
No, and Tyler brought that up this week, because I guessed it on his podcast, and I told him I would address it this week. We're already running along, so I won't. But we'll have to do a separate episode just for Chronicle, I think. Oh,
Jesus. Yeah, all right. Can't wait for that one.
Oh, but also, I'm going to write up a casting, because I have a perfect cast for Fantastic Four. I'm either going to throw it on the Movies on Up blog or throw it on Geekscape.net. But I'll put it on the Facebook page.
Wow, okay. Can't wait to read that. Matt Reeves lets Jason Clark and Cody Smith-McKee into the Planet of the Apes. Jason Clark will play the lead, which takes place more than 15 years after the first movie. KSM will be playing another large role. The movie will focus on a group of San Francisco scientists trying to survive and on an aging Caesar trying to retain dominance over the apes.
The story sounds cool. The 15-year jump makes it interesting. That's quite a leap.
Maybe that's a way to write
that's
out.
That's an easy way to get Franco out. Yeah. But I don't think Franco needed written out, because I think his arc was done.
We argued about this a while ago. I would like to have seen a small and maybe use.
He'll probably show up in a news clipping or something.
Yeah.
But and that's all I think he needed either way. But fuck yes for Jason Clark. Jason Clark is an awesome, awesome actor. I believe he's Australian. I've seen him in a bunch of like indie Aussie stuff over the past few years. And he's starting to get bigger roles. So. This is like a lead in a movie that's going to be a blockbuster. So that's awesome for him, and I'm fucking stoked for it. I think it's going to be good. I didn't like Rupert Wyatt leaving, because I thought he nailed the first one, but
yeah.
Matt Reeves, he's delivered so far.
Yeah, that's so true. And I'm
excited for it. I think it's going to be good.
And him coming back with KSM, that's good. So I think we're both on board for that.
Speaking of Rupert Wyatt,
yeah, steps into the driver's seat for The Equalizer. He will take over the job that was departed by Nikki Winding Refn to direct Denzel Washington in the TV to big screen adaptation.
I still have some interest in this movie. I didn't care about the TV show.
I have none.
But it's on a Blacklist script, so the script is decent, because I trust the Blacklist voters for the most part. Nikki Winding Refn liked it. We talked about it when he took over. Too similar to Drive.
Yeah.
He backed out.
Wasn't Gosling attached at one point, too?
No, it's always been Denzel.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, boy, that was really similar.
Yeah, so, but Rupert Wyatt, like, all right, I loved what he did with Planet of the Apes. I'm interested to see what he'll do with this. It's a Denzel. It's his franchise. It's a $50 million budget, but Denzel's still getting his $20 million salary, so they're making a thriller action movie for $30 million. So I'm interested to see it.
I'll let you watch it and tell me all about it. I don't think Mike Birbiglia is going to spend $50 million adapting his one-man show, My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, to follow up Sleepwalk With Me that did okay at the box
office. It got a big cult following because Ira Glass's involvement had a lot to do with that, and he's super talented.
Yeah, and he's got his own
following. And it was really good.
Like, it was okay.
Yeah,
it was okay.
It wasn't as good as I wanted it to be, but I still think it was really good.
Yeah, I'm interested in Birbiglia. I think he's a really talented dude. He's a really funny stand-up.
I wouldn't even call him a I mean, he is a stand-up technically. I don't think he's...
He's not like a jokey, horror
stand-up. I don't consider him one of the best stand-ups working. I consider him the best storyteller working, because that's how he thrives, is he tells stories, and he is one of the best storytellers you'll ever hear.
Which can translate well to this medium, because that's what he's doing. He's essentially telling a story, and we'll give this one a try.
I'll see it.
Yeah, sure. We'll leave it at that. David O. Russell and J. Law will meet yet again at the ends of the earth. Lawrence has been signed on to the project since this summer, but it's just now getting its director, and it's someone she's more than familiar with, although by her Oscar acceptance speech last night, you may not think she's familiar with him. Russell will step in to direct the story of an oil tycoon that falls in love with his niece. Oscar winner Chris Terrio has written the script.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it over the summer when she was cast, because it's about the oil tycoon who him and his wife adopt her niece, and then he ends up falling in love with the niece, and then she convinces him to, like, raise wages, make safer workplaces, and just kind of... So, I think it'll be interesting. Like, there's no other stars attached, but it's just... You got, they'll have Silver Linings Playbook. They're doing American whatever now, whatever they're going to call it.
American bullshit.
Yeah. Then they're going to have, you know, some time while she's promoting Hunger Games and stuff. But that'll pretty much be three movies in a row for O. Russell with her in it.
Maybe by the end of the three, she'll remember to thank him in an Oscar speech. We haven't done a movies on up at Young Readers Corner in a while, so I think it's about time, because I'm sure we have our younger listeners wanting to know what books they need to read before the movie comes out. Jocelyn L. McQueen's Arclight is getting a green light from producer Brian Grazer. The screenplay is being brought to light by Matthew Sand, who wrote the screenplay for Ninja Assassin.
Was there really a screenplay for Ninja Assassin?
I don't know. Dude, I didn't see it, but...
Dude spins with swords. Cut to outside. Dude fights seven people with swords. Cut to interior. Dude stands there and looks at the wall. Oh, he's attacked. That was pretty much the screenplay for Ninja Assassin.
Is Matthew Sand your pen name?
Like, I work in children's, like, teen young readers' books a lot. I don't even know what Arclight is. Like, all these other garbage ones I'm at least familiar with and know that people don't give a shit about them. This one, I don't even know what it is.
I began to read the synopsis from Amazon, but I didn't give a shit, so I stopped after about a sentence. Maybe they're just scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point. Just anything they can buy the rights to, let's get it going.
Because look how big of a hit Beautiful Creatures was.
Again, they're scraping the bottom of the barrel. At this point, they're taking whatever they can get, and apparently Arclight.
Because what's sad is that it goes in cycles, and Beautiful Creatures is going to bomb. It's bombed already. Mortal Instruments comes out in, I think, August. I think it's going to do well, and I think it's going to be good. So that's going to buy up the hype again. But then something like Maze Runner is going to come out. It's going to suck.
Well, these are already in the pipeline. But then
Hunger Games is going to come out. And it's just going to go like one out of, like maybe two out of 12 of these are going to be good. Or one out of six.
If six out of 12 of them, yeah. If half of them make money, whether or not they're good, fuck it. I guess, again, it's an economic argument. Will be interesting to see the economic impact on some of the movies that happened to win some Oscars last night. There were some naked statues handed out last evening. This is actually, Dave and I haven't really talked about what happened last night.
What were your overall thoughts on the Oscars?
I still think it's entirely too goddamn long. They need to cut out a shit ton of musical numbers. I thought Seth MacFarlane was okay. It wasn't hilarious, but...
I didn't watch a ton. I'll be honest. It's like baseball to me. Like, I'll follow the Pirates. I'll get their score texts to me through the summer. I don't need to watch the games. It's kind of how I am with the Oscars. Like, I just care about the results. I don't really care about watching it. I saw a really good Nazi joke that made me laugh.
Yeah.
And his introduction for Meryl Streep, I thought was hilarious. So
there really wasn't
one. Those two jokes were enough for me to think he did okay. I'd rather see that than Billy Crystal, but I didn't watch the whole thing, so I can't really judge.
He did fine. I mean, there were a couple of things that he said that were maybe a little bit a little bit pushing it. But, you know, that's kind of what you were going to get with him. I mean, I guess I think he was all right.
But as far as results go, what were your overall thoughts?
I think, you know, most everything, I think, kind of went according to plan. Most everything.
Acting ones did.
Well, yeah, the acting ones. I think the writing ones, it wasn't a huge shock. I mean, when Tarantino won for original, I didn't necessarily have that pegged. But, you know, he's won for original screenplay before, so it's not like that's completely out of the blue.
No.
I mean, I think, for me, the Oscars didn't get interesting until Ang Lee won for Best Director. And then I was like, oh, shit.
And that's, here's what my overall, the Oscars like to pick one movie and just give it everything.
But they didn't this year.
I know. And I'm hoping this is a trend that they go to. Like, I've hated forever that Best Director and Best Picture are tied together. They don't need to be.
No.
I think your director of your Best Picture should be nominated for Best Director. But I don't like that they need to be tied together. They didn't this year. I have no problem with Ang Lee winning. But they didn't. The most Oscars won was 4. And I think that might have been Les Mis. It was Les Mis or Life. No, Life of Pi.
I would say Life of Pi, I think.
Life of Pi won 4. Yeah. Les Mis and Argo won 3. So, I mean, your Best Picture only won editing and original or adapted screenplay.
Adapted screenplay, yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they just threw the. Like, my prediction was that Silver Linings was going to clean up or Lincoln was going to clean up.
Yeah.
They didn't.
No.
And I like that. I like that you can throw other movies. Like, it's not one movie dominated. I hope this is a trend to come because we did say the nominations had come a long way from what they've been the past few years. I like that. Okay, Silver Linings was nominated in all 4 categories for acting. It got one of them.
Yeah. And it got the one that it should have.
And Lincoln was in 3. It got one. So usually they try to group those together, but supporting actor is the only one that I really have an issue with.
And I guess...
And we called it. I mean, we knew that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I didn't have a huge issue, I guess, with Waltz. I mean, I wanted to see Bob De Niro in because I thought he did his performance. Yeah, we talked about it, was the best.
But we both said, of the 5 supporting actor nominees, he was, I think, both of our least favorites. But not to say Waltz, he wasn't good.
Yeah, no, he was fine.
He was good.
He was fine.
But I don't even think he was best supporting in that movie. And you agreed with me.
Yeah, I thought Leo was pretty good in that.
Yeah, but so that's the only one I have an issue with, and it's not even that big of a deal.
I'll tell you this. I do have a little bit of an issue with Argo winning Best Picture. I mean, I've seen all of them except for Amour, and I liked Argo. It was a good movie. It's probably a real good movie. I got no interest in sitting down to watch it again. None. But I'd absolutely sit down and watch Silver Linings again. I thought that was a much better movie.
I have watched Silver Linings a few times.
Yeah.
I love it. Like, yeah. I love that movie.
That's my point. Like, I'll sit down and watch Life of Pi again. That was tremendous. I mean, I'll watch Beasts again. Most of the movies, like, if you
I've seen Beasts a couple times.
I'm right. Like, yeah, I'm just saying, like, Argo, there is nothing for me to sit down and watch that again.
I don't think that's requirement, though. Don't think that's... Because, like,
maybe
I think
not.
Argo and Zero Dark Thirty were two of the best movies made this year. I don't need to see either of them again.
I don't need to see Lincoln again.
Any of those 3 could have won Best Picture, and I don't...
Yeah, my problem just comes in that to me, they just didn't leave that much of an impact on me. I can't say that, holy shit, everything about this movie, it doesn't seem like the best movie. It looks... Sounds a bit like Gladiator from 2000. Like, it doesn't stand out as, holy shit, this is absolutely Best Picture material. Like, this was the Best Picture, the film that won Best Picture this year, but...
I think because the year was so strong. I think it's brought down by its competition.
Yeah,
whereas maybe. If you put this movie in any of the last 5 years,
it would have looked way better, yeah.
But you have... I mean, we talked about it. Any of those... I'm going to say Beast was a long shot, and Amour, I don't think, had a chance.
Right.
Any of the other 7 films could have won, and I wouldn't have been shocked. You could not say that about any other year.
Right.
I mean, there were 9 deserving Best Picture noms this year. 9!
You're right.
I think any one of them that wins is going to have a hard time, because I don't think what you're saying about what Argo didn't do, I don't know that any of these movies do. I don't know that any of them really stood out that strongly to where we're going to look back at 2012 and think, oh yeah, fucking Zero Dark Thirty owned that year. Because it didn't. Neither did Argo. Neither did Lincoln.
Nothing did the way they gave the award.
But somebody had to get an award.
You're right. Somebody had to get the award. But I'm just looking at the way things panned out. To me, it just seemed like they realized they should have nominated him for Best Director. And when they didn't, they were like, well, fuck. We're just going to... Everybody's going to get... It's like a participation. Like, Silver Linings got Best Actress. Lincoln got Best Actor. Life of Pi got Best Director. So that left... Oh, well, fuck. We'll just give Argo Best Picture to Best Argo.
It was just, Django got Best Screenplay.
Yeah, it just seemed so fucking dirty. And you knew that Amour was going to win Best Foreign. So
obviously.
Like, everybody got something, and it just seemed like, well, we really fucked up.
Even Les Mis got Supporting Actress.
Well, yeah.
And a few others. I mean, it got three.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it was a surprise that Anne Hathaway won that at all.
No, we all called that.
Right. But, yeah, I guess that's just... When Ang Lee got Best Director, I knew at that point Lincoln is not winning Best Picture. No. Like, that writing was on the wall. I knew Silver Linings wasn't winning Best Picture. And the sad thing
is, I knew Life of Pi wasn't winning Best Picture.
Exactly.
That was the weird thing, is like, it's going to be Argo or Zero Dark Thirty. But,
I mean, I really liked Life of Pi. I thought that was a really, really good movie. It won Best Director. It won Best Visual Effects. Best Cinematography. Like,
here's my thing: is if it had a chance at winning Best Film, the dude would have been Best Actor.
He had to have been nominated for Best Actor.
I couldn't
see
for a movie like that.
But he should have been instead of.
No, I agree. We've said that. We've said that before. He should have been in there ahead of Denzel.
But why? Why do those have to be tied together? Because Best Director and Best Picture don't have to be.
In a situation like that, like, could you give Castaway Best Film without giving Tom Hanks Best Actor, because the kid carried that movie?
Could you give Argo Best? I mean,
yeah, Argo was an ensemble thing,
kind of. Yeah,
the kid was on the boat with a tiger. Like,
yes,
the movie was that kid,
right?
If it's good enough for Best Picture, he better damn well be good enough for Best Actor.
It's good enough to be nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, but I mean, that's just in something like that where it focuses on one person. If it's a true Best Picture contender, the kid's got to at least be nominated for Best Actor, I think. So I don't think the Academy ever saw it as a legitimate threat to win.
I guess maybe not a legitimate threat to win that, but it won more awards than anything else.
No, I'm not down. I'm not bad-mouthing it.
I just don't think it ever
had a chance to win Best Picture.
No, it probably
even
didn't.
Even when Ang Lee won Best Director.
It probably didn't. I just think that's fucked up. I just don't like the fact that Argo won. Anything else, I think I'd have been okay with.
See, I'm fine with Argo winning. I liked Argo.
It was fine.
Behind Silver Linings, it was probably my second favorite of the three, of the nine. Well, I only saw, I think, six or seven of them.
But. Well, I mean, I definitely like Silver Linings better. I would have been okay with that. I'd have been okay with most things. Zero Dark and Argo were the two that I really thought, eh.
But they feel like Oscar movies. They feel like
Lincoln Academy. Really feels like an Oscar movie. It's a period piece. It's got Daniel Day-Lewis, Steven Spielberg.
Well, whatever. So is Argo, period piece.
Yeah, kind of.
70s.
Yeah, 70s. Whatever.
So it's Zero Dark Thirty because it starred a redhead.
That's disgusting. Do we want to give our Oscar points things and get into film ball?
Do you just want to give our totals?
Sure.
Because we've talked them a bunch.
Yeah.
Listener Tyler Moliterno sent in his. I swung and a miss. I got a lot more ambitious with mine. I only got 67 points. Ryan kind of didn't play along. He got 75 points.
Oh, I played along.
He got 75 points. We each got 7 outright because we each picked who we thought would win. We each got 7 outright out of the 13 categories we were doing. So, over half. Tyler got 76 points. And he didn't send me outrights, but I just picked whoever he gave most to. And he got 8 outright. So, he bested us on both of those.
Good for him.
Film ball? We haven't talked film ball in a while.
No, we haven't. I think we gave an update towards the end of the year last year. Or no. We did end of the year for box office, and then I think we gave another one around Golden Globes time when the award...
Set up the rules in case new listeners.
Fuck, I don't even know if I remember the rules. Essentially...
We each picked... There were two ways to do it. There were two different film ball competitions. Me and Ryan had one between the two of us where we drafted. We couldn't have any crossover. We each did 5 movies, so our scores are going to be a little lower. So we did our 5, and then we opened it up to the listeners where you could pick any 5 films. And we got 10 people to throw in their films. So for Ryan and I, it was 10 points per... It was 1 point for $10 million at the box office before January 31st, right. December 31st.
Right.
5 points for every Oscar nomination
and Golden Globe
nomination, and then 10 points for every Oscar win and every Golden Globe nomination win. So that was the rules. Ryan had Lincoln, Cloud Atlas, Life of Pi, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Master. Two of those were good. Like, Lincoln brought in 138.2.
No, three of them were good. I mean, Wreck-It Ralph was good. It didn't...
No, I meant point-wise.
Oh, point-wise, yeah, okay.
Lincoln brought in 138.2. Life of Pi brought in 128.6. The Master, 31.6, kind of missed the not the nominations we expected. Wreck-It Ralph, 27.6. And then Cloud Atlas, swing and a miss, 7.7. Ryan ended with a total of 333.7, which was better than me. I got the two.
Who had the number one pick?
I did.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
You would have went Hobbit also.
I probably would have, but no, I definitely would have. I said I would have.
I had Hobbit, Argo, Zero Dark Thirty, Rise of the Guardians, and Twilight. Twilight was only 28.6. Guardians was only 14. Hobbit was only 37.9. Argo, 125.9. That's my only like moneymaker. And then Zero Dark Thirty, 65.1. So Ryan's total was 333.7. Mine was 271.5. So you can brag for a second if you want to.
No, not really. I mean, I made up the game, so I probably should win, right? That's only fair that I win the game that I created. At least between the two of us. I mean, I'm sure listeners kicked my ass.
Yeah. But,
it's really bad.
I was going to go with movies real quick. Hobbit was 37.9. Lincoln, 138.2. Argo, 125.9. Cloud Atlas, 7.7. Twilight, 28.6. The Master, 31.6. Frankenweenie was picked by somebody.
Yeah.
13.5. Skyfall, 89. Zero Dark Thirty, 65.1. Looper was picked by somebody, 6.6. Silver Linings, 82.8. Les Mis, 126.7. Wreck-It Ralph, 27.6. Seven Psychopaths was actually picked, 1.5. Rise of the Guardians, 14. And Life of Pi, 128.6. Like I said, we had 10 people pick. I'm going to go from the bottom up. Thomas John in 10th place.
Frankenweenie killed him.
200.6. He had The Master, The Hobbit, Frankenweenie, Skyfall, Twilight. If it weren't for Skyfall, he'd be even in worse off shape. So 200.6 in 10th place. 9th place, Kevin Bradway, 244. So he was in last
place. By a lot.
By a lot. Kevin had Lincoln, Hobbit, Master, Cloud Atlas, Twilight. 8th place, Eric Hawkins. We laughed a lot at him, 251.6. He got a lot of crap because he's the one that picked Looper, but he's also really the only one that picked Silver Linings.
Yeah, I think we recanted. When we did an update, we said, all right, this could be sneaky. The Silver Linings pick
was a good pick. But he had Looper and Cloud Atlas.
maybe I led people astray with the Cloud Atlas.
That's only 14 points between those two. Then he had Argo and Twilight. So he was in 8th with 251.6. Now we're in the 300s. Dana came in 7th with 301.4 points. She had The Hobbit, Lincoln, The Master, Twilight, Zero Dark Thirty. You go in hindsight, that's an awesome list.
Yeah.
Like, you go in hindsight, like, I'd be stoked if that were my list after drafting. But 301 points. 6th place, Jason West, 338.3. The Hobbit, Lincoln, Argo, Cloud Atlas, Twilight. I'd have probably had something else in there besides Cloud Atlas, but other than that, that's probably what I would have had.
I think this is a movement of the people that thought Cloud Atlas was going to be good. And I saw the movie.
I'm saying I was right from the beginning on that. I knew it was going to bomb.
I knew
it wasn't going to get Oscar love. Now we're in the top five. 5th place, 362.2, Alex Van de Kamp. He had The Hobbit, The Master, Lincoln, Argo, and Twilight. Again, I would think that would be an awesome lineup. I mean, Lincoln and Argo were good, but the rest... I guess we learned this year, box office.
Well, yeah, fuck box office.
Because all the ones that were picked for box office...
Like Twilight killed people. I mean, The Hobbit was set up to be the juggernaut. It was supposed to get the box office and was supposed to get the Oscar love. It got no Oscars.
It got the box off, but not even as big as we expected.
Yeah, so, yeah.
4th place with 398.7, Eric Cribley. He had The Master, Argo, Lincoln, The Hobbit, Zero Dark Thirty. Like, all these...
Yeah, I think you're going to have...
I'm looking in hindsight thinking like, oh shit, these are good picks. One that I didn't agree with, Tyler Moliterno, came in 3rd. 407.1. I wasn't super into his picks when he sent them in. He had Argo, which I was fine with that, and The Hobbit, okay. He had Skyfall. Neither of us considered that.
Yeah.
Les Mis, neither of us considered that, and the Wreck-It Ralph.
But Les Mis was, that was another sneaky one that we should have considered.
Yeah.
Because obviously that was going to get nominated for Best Picture. You know, there was going to be song nominations, score, all that shit. So, I mean, that was good thinking.
Yeah. So here's where we're at. If you paid attention when we did our updates the last time, Jen Waltman was in 10th place. We haven't mentioned her name yet. She was in 10th place by a lot.
She was like in Thomas John 10th place.
She had like 85 and everybody else was in like the 150 range. So like she was getting doubled up. We haven't mentioned her name yet. So something swung there. At the halfway, not even halfway point, in December, Dave Gordon was in number one. Let's go over their picks. Dave Gordon had Lincoln, Twilight, The Hobbit, Les Mis, Skyfall. It's a good list. Jen Waltman, Les Mis, The Hobbit, Argo, Life of Pi, that's a strong four.
Yeah.
Seven Psychopaths. 1.5 points.
That was the word. That makes my pick of Cloud Atlas look like a juggernaut.
1.5 point because it only got $15 million at the box office. So we gave Jen Waltman some crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was well deserved at the time. So that's those movies. You add them up, Dave Gordon went from first place, his total 420.4 points. Jen Waltman from last place, including Seven Psychopaths with 1.5 points, 420.6 points.
Shit.
So Jen Waltman is your first annual fantasy film ball winner with 420.6.
Inaugural fantasy football. She's like the Packers of fantasy
to
football.
To Dave Gordon's 420.4.
And it, like the
sad, that's insane.
She beat him essentially with one arm with tied four. Behind her back.
I mean, you yeah. take away Seven Psychopaths.
Right.
She's, you know, she loses. But you put any other movie in there. Any other movie besides Seven Psychopaths. Right. It's not even close.
Yeah. I mean, you put put Frankenweenie in there. You know what I
she
mean?
She wins by 10.
Right.
I mean, that's unheard of. She went from last.
Well, everything's unheard of because I made all this shit up. But
I know, but I'm just saying she went from last to winning by 0.2.
That'll be when we do this again next year. When you're sitting in 10th place after our New Year's show, you can be the Waltman. You can pull a Waltman and go from worst to first. She's like the Miracle Mets.
Because if I would have been right and say, you know, I mean, Eric, his rest of his picks were shit. So even if Silver Linings would have won all eight Oscars it was nominated for, still only he's at 320. Like he's still off by 100. But if he had any other logical picks, so I mean, I thought it was fun. If we're still doing it next year, which I hope we are, I want to do fantasy film ball again.
I think we should. Yeah, I may tweak the scoring.
I would
a little
maybe
bit.
Say box office till the end of January.
Okay.
Because nobody considered Django because it yeah. opened Christmas Day.
Yeah, you're right. And Django would have been a strong pick.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't add it up because
Zero Dark may have done better.
It would have done a lot better, because yeah. they bumped it back. It was yeah. supposed to be an early.
Right.
Yeah, so I think as long as it's, you know, from, I think it has to be released by 12/31, but maybe yeah. box office by 1/31.
Yeah, that's fair. I think, you know, if you guys have any input, like it's one thing for Dave and I to sit here and try and speculate on what we should do better. If you've got any
10
ideas,
months from now,
yeah, let us know. I'll put it in a composition notebook and dust it yeah. off. 10 months from now, when we have a
7 months, I guess.
Whenever.
And Jen Waltman, if you're listening, email moviesonup@gmail.com. Get us any information, mailing address, whatever you
Post
want.
Post office box, dead drop location, yeah. however you want
to
do.
Give us somewhere to send you a prize package, and we'll get it out in the next, I'd say, month.
Before the second season of Fantasy Film.
Yeah, we'll get it out at some point. So just get us an email, moviesonup@gmail.com.
Do we want to do like a second prize? Because Dave is pretty close. Like I hate to put everything like like everything into the winner and
oh, are we Little League?
Shit.
Does everybody, do you want to give Thomas John a participation trophy too?
No, I don't.
All right.
I was just thinking, like, I don't know. Like, do we want to give a first and a second prize?
That's Dave, good job.
Okay.
There you go.
Well, Dave, I went to bat for you, but Dick Dave was like, no, you're not getting anything. So, sorry.
Sorry. You can be the 49ers this year. I'm proud of you, but shit. Still the first loser.
All right, so there you go. Thanks to the 9 other people that played, other than Jen, you're all fucking losers. We appreciate the time. Better luck next year. Dave, you're a fucking loser.
I think we... Oh, yeah, I am. I am. Oscars and this. It's a bad episode for me.
Yeah. Although, you know how you can rally? If you want to set a over-under on the box office this week, we've got a couple good movies. Well, at least one movie that I think looks good, and the other one's not so much. you usually kick my ass in the over-under. So while I read what is coming out in wide release and limited, go ahead and think of what numbers you want to play. 21 and Over comes out this week, along with Jack the Giant Slayer and The Last Exorcism Part 2, as well as Phantom. Those are your wide releases this week. The limited release is Stoker. That is the...
Chan-Woo Park.
Chan-Woo Park, that's
written it. Written by Wentworth Miller from Prison Break.
That guy from Prison Break and the guy that did Old Boy. So, yeah, that's a limited release. That's really limited, I think.
I'm going to go ambitious.
Okay.
Because Jack the Giant Slayer, every year there's that movie in... It March is like a mini summer now. Like it was, you were putting out one movie in March, it's going to make a lot of money. Now this is kicking off March, in a couple of weeks you got G.I. Joe. I'm going to say 30. You got Bryan Singer.
Mm-hmm.
It's promoted heavily.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I think it looks okay.
It looks good.
Nicholas Holt coming off a Warm Bodies hit. Like, might get the teenage girls that went and saw that. See him. Come see it.
I want to see Warm Bodies.
I know. I want to see it. I like Nicholas Holt.
It's okay.
And I want to see
Jack the Giant Slayer. It might get the teenage girls and Dave to go see Jack the Giant Slayer. You know what? I'll take the over.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be pussy. Because under is easy to take. I'm going over, too. I think it's ambitious, but I want to shoot high. I think it'll be good.
So neither of us are pussies.
The long trailer makes it feel like Willow, kind of. And I like Brian. I like this for Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
21 and over.
Do you want to do 21?
No. 12.
12. I'll take the under for that, just because I feel like Identity Thief is still out there, and that appears to be a comedy that people like. This, I think, just...
I'm taking under. Last Exorcism, Part 2, say 7.
I'll take the over on that one.
I'm going under.
Okay.
Still going under.
I've got over on Jack the Giant Slayer, Last Exorcism, under on 21 and over. You've got over on Jack and under on the other two, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I don't remember what those numbers were. Fuck Phantom. Not interested in that. If for whatever reason you're not tripping over yourself to get out and see Jack the Giant Slayer this weekend or anything else that we previously mentioned, Dave, what should the folks take a peek at on Netflix or on the DVD or on TV? Whatever.
I don't know.
You don't know. You usually don't. I'll go in the meantime while Dave is feverishly looking for a movie that he will tell you that is awesome and you should watch. I haven't seen my watch this of the week because I haven't been able to, but tomorrow, as this comes out, Tuesday, The Master will be released on DVD. That's one that I had missed when it was in the theaters. It's got good timing, I guess, coming off the Oscars last night. It'll finally be available on DVD this Tuesday, so I'm sure going to go check it out at some point, probably go to my local video renting establishment this weekend, and I'm going to check out The Master. Again, that's on DVD, Blu-ray, Laserdisc, Betamax, HD, DVD. Did I say VHS? Probably. I'll be on all of those formats. Digital download, ultraviolet. I guess, I think those are one and the same.
Yeah, I'm going to go two, because I'm thinking Jason Clarke movies. Rabbit Proof Fence from 2002. It's an Australian movie. It did decent over here. Like, it got something... it might have been some Oscar noms. I don't remember. I know it got some kind of acclaim over here. And then something more recent from his American resume, Trust, directed by David Schwimmer, starring Clive Owen and Catherine Keener. Their 15-year-old daughter gets fucked by a, like, 30-some-year-old dude. It's decent. It's worth a watch. Like, Schwimmer gets... I'd say ballsy. Like, I think he's risky as a director.
He puts his balls on that girl?
He might as well have. But Clive Owen's great. Catherine Keener's good in it. It's a cool little take. Like, it's frightening. Like, it is terrifying. It's about online hookups. It's pretty frightening and terrifying. But it's good. Jason Clarke's pretty solid in that. So Trust and Rabbit Proof Fence.
And The Master. So check out any of those. Let us know what you think. moviesonup@gmail.com. You can tweet directly at Dave. Although, I think he sent me the information for the Twitter, so maybe at some point you can be tweeting directly at both of us, at MoviesOnUp, or get at us on the Facebook, facebook.com/MoviesOnUp. You can also leave us a review on iTunes. That'd be pretty rad. We make it pretty easy for you if you head to MoviesOnUp.com, which maybe is where you will be downloading this episode. We have a link right on any of our episodes where it says something about an iTunes review. Just click there, and it'll take you, and you can give us a 5-star or whatever star you think is appropriate. let us know what you think. That's a good place to do that.
Yeah, and a couple things for me. I mentioned it earlier, a little show called Generation Animation. It's Tyler Moliterno and three other people. They talk about cartoons. This week, I was a guest on. I talked the Oscar nominees for animated short and animated feature. We talked for quite a bit, so if you want to hear me gush about Paranorman, listen to that episode. It was a lot of fun. Also, I have Eric and Dave talking with Eric and Dave. The episode this week, I think, is a lot of fun. It's our 51st episode, and it's building up to a live show March 10th at Mojo's in Austintown, Ohio. Free show. Come out. Eat some dinner. Drink some beer. Watch us be silly for a couple hours. It's right there on Mahoning Avenue in Austintown. So other than that, find me at Dave Becella, DaveBecella.com.
This is probably the first week in a while we don't have anything to ask people to send in. No Oscar picks.
No, I don't know what we're going to talk about next week. Maybe trailers. We haven't
done trailers in a while.
Yeah. There hasn't been any like super good trailers that we need to address.
God, maybe there'll be one for Identity Thief 2 or the Turtles movie.
Although the Heat trailer was kind of funny. That aired over the Oscars.
You did it?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? When the commercials came on, I was watching the basketball game. So I
that was a good game.
There were a couple, yeah.
Check Movies On Up. I'll post on... Like us on Facebook. Facebook.com/Movies On Up.
Yeah.
I'm going to write the Fantastic Forecasting article. It'll go... I'll put it on the Facebook page if it doesn't end up on MoviesOnUp.com. So.
Okay. And maybe that'll be our blog home for the short term until we figure out something on the website. But I guess until next week, we'll be here. Don't know what we'll be talking about, but... Until next week, keep it up.